We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. So glad to have you on this Thursday, the Maggie and Perloff Show. We got a lot of ground that we've been covering today because a lot's going on. Obviously, Thursday night football tonight. You got Steelers visiting the Browns. Browns are a 4.5-point favorite in that game. The weather's supposed to be pretty bad. They're only expecting, I mean, Vegas is only expecting, like, the over-under is 38. Even if you're not into betting, that is really, really low. Not expecting a whole lot of points, whole lot of points to be scored tonight.
I mean, the Steelers refuse to throw the ball more than 8 yards down the field at any given time.
That's been a couple years going now.
Yeah.
Big Ben, Trubisky.
It's weird. Nothing is worse than Trubisky throwing it 1 yard short of the first down marker. That goes back to Chicago. Hopefully that will not happen tonight. I got to admit, I don't know. I'm not so into this. And not, of course, I'll watch every second of this. This is not my preferred Thursday night matchup. Last week we had the Chargers and the Chiefs.
Yeah, that was
that
pretty
was
good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Monday night we got to see the Bills and the Eagles. Now this is going to be a much slower brand of football.
Well, and if it's going to be like 20-mile-an-hour winds, it's
exactly.
going to be it's an adventure, well, especially when it comes to the kicking game.
Good running back, so it's going to be some old-school football.
Yeah, people like that, though, Perloff, you know?
It's going to make the Browns' defense look better than it is because that disaster that was last week.
They can't look worse. I mean, to collapse like that against the New York Jets,
it's
unfathomable. Well, you know, but they're the Browns. Like, we say the Jets, like, dismissive, and the Jets have earned that, no doubt. But it's not like the Browns have this unbelievable history that they can call upon here.
Well, they were.
Jets and Browns, same, same.
I know, but the Jets' offense gashing you in the last 2 minutes of the game, that's the last offense. With Joe Flacco, come on.
Yeah, if it had been Zach Wilson, it probably would have been a little bit more admirable than Joe Flacco, who is, based by all accounts, pretty washed, but didn't look so in the last minute and a half of that game.
Yeah, actually, Joe Flacco looked pretty solid all game.
He just can't move.
He can't move. He's only 37. That's a baby in NFL quarterback terms.
I know. I'm sorry. I forgot that now every NFL quarterback gets to play till he's 48.
Basically.
He probably has another contract coming.
Yeah, Joe Flacco.
It's going to be on the open market with, like, Jimmy Garoppolo.
I found Joe Flacco, this is such an aside, I found his quick falling off a cliff bizarre because he won the Super Bowl, signed a big deal. 2 years later, he was basically done. Lamar came and it was all over. I don't know. Why was Joe Flacco at 33 already not good?
Well, because when you're immobile and then you get older, you're older and immobile.
Well, it worked for Tom Brady.
Yeah, Joe Flacco's not Tom Brady, and even Joe Flacco would tell you that.
Worked for Eli Manning? No.
It didn't.
It worked for Phil? No. Oh, so the immobile. Yeah, but mobile quarterbacks can't stay mobile. Actually, it only worked for Tom Brady. So that's it.
He's the exception.
Aaron Rodgers is pretty good in his late 30s.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Brees. But Drew Brees lost a lot of arm strength. Okay,
I said Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I know.
Throw me Drew Brees. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when Taysom Hill has to come in to throw any pass you want to go over 40 yards, that's, you know, that's the sign. Okay, so if you look at this weekend slate, moving off of the Browns and Steelers for just a moment, because I don't know if we're actually expecting Kenny Pickett to get the call today.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be enough of a blowout game like it was between the Bills and Titans, which is why you saw Ryan Tannehill get benched for Malik Willis. I just don't think you're going to see a game that's enough of a blowout to warrant Kenny Pickett coming into the game. So I don't think we see him tonight.
I think Trubisky, the transition to Pickett's closer than you think. I think a bad half here or there. I think they could consider it at halftime. If they're not doing anything on offense, they got to give something a try. Now, can Kenny Pickett's small hands hold the ball in the wind?
That's again, another with the small hands.
Well, that's the narrative on the dude. But, yeah, I mean, you think if they are down 14-0 at halftime that they wouldn't even at least consider switching quarterbacks?
I would. At that point, what do you have to lose?
Yeah.
So that's what's going on tonight between the Steelers and the Browns. Looking ahead to this weekend slate, 9 home underdogs this week in the NFL. And that's, you know, that's a lot. So the ones with the biggest odds, Perloff and I are going to pick which upset we could see happening. We're not going to go against the spread here, just money line, straight up, who's going to win. Right now, Kansas City is a 5.5-point favorite at the Colts. You have Buffalo, a 5.5-point favorite at Miami. You have Cincinnati, a 6-point favorite at the New York Jets. And you've got Perloff's Philadelphia Eagles at Washington. They are a 6.5-point favorite. So of the Colts, the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Commanders, who do you think can pull off the upset?
So I actually cannot understand for the life of me how the Commanders are 6.5-point underdogs to the Eagles. Am I missing something completely here? I'm being suckered in. Now, Carson Wentz playing his former team. The Commanders have had games. The Eagles have been a better team on and off over the last decade, and the Commanders always play them tough. You know how NFC East is? It's completely nonsensical.
Yeah.
That's a huge spread. Now, I understand Jalen Hurts was masterful on Monday night, but come on. In a division game, that's way too much.
Okay, so you think the Commanders have the best
chance to win?
Yeah,
I think they have a chance to win. I think that's going to be a close game.
Yeah, I would say that's my number one. And if I were going to go number two, I think it's actually the Colts. Like, this has to be the most desperate team or one of the most desperate teams, maybe beyond the Bengals, who are playing the Jets. The Colts have to be super desperate. I mean, I do believe that Frank Reich could be on the hot seat. You have Matt Ryan. It has not gone at all how you would hope. You just got shut out by the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're coming off a tie against the Houston Texans in week one. Before that, like, there is no team that needs a win worse, I think, than the Colts. Maybe the Raiders, but we're talking about teams here with big spreads.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the defenses that have shut down the Colts completely, we don't know about the Chiefs. The Chiefs' defense has played pretty well these first two weeks, but I still have the memories of last year's playoffs, of watching them completely collapse. I like that one, too. And the funny thing is, even if you think the Colts have really been disappointing, you have to admit they're still in that AFC South mix. I mean, nobody has distinguished themselves at all.
I don't know. I mean, the Jags look pretty good after that whitewashing of the Colts. But if you were going to take this to a little bit more of an extreme, and I should remind everybody that this portion of the show is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app and use the code MNP for Maggie and Perloff to get in on the action. Aside from just these underdogs, if you were going to pick the most desperate team going into week three, I think it's definitely the Raiders. Stu's Raiders have to be feeling like this is, they cannot afford at all for a loss here. They're going to Tennessee. They're a 1.5-point favorite as the road team going to Tennessee. And I know that's like a pretty big indictment on the Titans, but
yeah, but
this is a desperate Raiders team.
But aren't the Titans just as desperate? I think
the reason why I think the Raiders are more desperate is because the Raiders play in the AFC West. And I think the Titans probably have to feel like the AFC South, maybe a little bit easier to gain ground. You're not going to be able to gain ground if you get in too big of a hole if you're in the AFC West.
Okay. I would say I actually have a 1-1 team that has a bit of desperation.
Who's that?
I think the Denver Broncos need to show something against San Francisco. Now, the numbers are stunning. Russell Wilson has absolutely owned the Niners. He needs to continue to do that. I think the Broncos need to show something and get some positive momentum. I kind of don't think they can. I think these injuries at receiver are going to be a major, major problem. But we were talking about it with Ryan Leaf earlier. Nathaniel Hackett has to show that he can get this done, that they can improve. In fact, I'll give him one gaffe. He can have one bad gaffe.
He can't have multiple gaffes.
If he could go from 5 gaffes to 4 gaffes to 3 gaffes, by week 7, he's going to be mistake-free.
Yeah.
So I think this is a really
important
game.
Just in time for Thanksgiving.
This is a really important game, and I think we don't really know what San Francisco is. Yeah, we all assume Jimmy G's back. It's all settled. They've had running back issues. They're a good defense, but they lost to the Bears, Maggie. So I think there's a chance here that Denver could get back in everyone's good graces, and there's a lot of pressure.
I agree with you. They're an underdog, and yeah.
Also, winning in Denver is tricky. That's an odd spot. A lot of teams come there, don't understand the air, what it means. I think this could be
I think it's out
could
of
be
breath.
A good spot. Yeah, I think it's a real home field advantage. I don't know if the number's always bear that out. I mean, the Niners are favored, but yeah, I don't trust the Niners yet because we don't know the Niners yet. We don't know exactly. Jimmy G didn't really practice all summer, so maybe they have a letdown in them. You know, I'm rooting for Nathaniel Hackett. I'm alone on Team Hackett.
It must be a pretty lonely place to be the one person out there defending Nathaniel Hackett. And I you're against the grain about it, too. Nice
you know
job.
The New York Post headline is so easy when he gets fired. Can't Hackett.
Yeah. They're just sitting on that
They're
one.
Sitting. But I don't think they would really run a headline on the Denver coach being fired.
Just for the headlines sake.
They might do that. Do they ever
Someone's
do that?
Like, this is gold. Like, we can't just let it go. It's like, but there's stuff in New York happening. Like, who cares?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's
Push
so many
it off.
Judge puns already. They're probably looking for some other area of content.
Aaron Judge's chase for, now he's at 60 home runs. And so they're playing tonight, obviously. Red Sox are in town. So that just ratchets everything up a little bit higher. And now he's going for Roger Maris's record tonight. And we were actually having a discussion about this. Like, this home run race has made us like ask a lot of philosophical questions about ourselves. And one of them is, what would you do if you caught the ball? Like, would you just give it back? Or would
like
you,
a fan did that, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't the record-breaking one. It was 59. It was 60, actually. It was 60. One that tied him for Babe Ruth.
Still has some value to it.
No doubt. Darren Revelle thought it was worth $50,000.
Yeah.
The kid gave it back and basically got a signed bat and a photo with Aaron Judge. And I think the question is, would you give it back and maybe demand a couple things, maybe tickets or something like that, or memorabilia, or would you just hold on to it and sell it to the highest bidder on eBay or whatever? I mean, if Aaron Judge really wants it, Aaron Judge or someone who represents him can find it on eBay and buy it.
Yeah, no, I am not about money. I would find Aaron Judge after the game and do it for a picture.
Really?
Is what
Even
I would tell
50
you.
Grand?
There, are you kidding me? I would for $5,000, Aaron Judge would be out of luck. I can't even believe this is a debate. What kind of idiot would just give the ball to Aaron Judge? That makes no sense to me.
I bet they pressure you a lot. I don't know this about the Yankees at all.
I don't care. They
but I bet they put the hard sell on you.
Unless they have a team of lawyers who tells me why I can't sell that baseball, I'm selling that baseball.
They might. They might put you in, like, Yankee jail down there, wherever they put the people who streak onto the field, you know?
You think they can pressure you into not selling? But
I don't think they really put you in
jail. 61 and 62 are such a big deal that I think they have no choice.
I think they would put put so much pressure on. Again, I know I worked in New York, but I have no knowledge of this at all. I think they would put so much pressure. It's like the people who try to get you to buy a timeshare.
Timeshare.
Level of pressure.
No. I've been there.
Did you buy the timeshare?
No, I won like a package through when you fill out the thing in the mall and you put it to win a car, and I got a vacation, and I had to sit through a timeshare meeting. I'm like, nope, no, not doing a timeshare. I'll just take my vacation. Thank you.
How was the vacation?
I didn't go yet.
Oh, wow, this is happening.
Yeah,
this
it's going to probably be this winter.
Where are you going?
Vegas is one of the places, so I'm going to try to go to Vegas and see a Raiders game, my first Raiders game.
Amazing.
That's so
Stu's
cool.
A lifelong Raider fan who lives in New York, so you haven't been able to see a game. That's awesome. Well, you've seen the Raiders when they come to New York.
Yeah,
and they're
lots
one
of losses.
They're
yes.
1-4.
Yes, not good.
Okay, there's a couple other philosophical questions that we've been banting about. If it's last night, it was 11-2, I believe. The Pirates, was it the Pirates?
Yeah.
Were pitching to Aaron Judge, and some poor pitcher came up in the eighth inning, threw him four balls in the dirt.
Didn't want any part of this.
Would you pitch to him if it wasn't in the middle of a competitive game? It wouldn't matter.
Right.
Would you pitch to him or would you avoid him?
So you can be part of history.
You can be part of history.
If you groove him a fastball, right? Then you're the.
No, not even. Or you could be part of. You could just do a regular at bat. You could. Throw him a mix of breaking
and just like be competitive.
But be competitive.
You could groove him a fastball, and then you're the answer to a trivia question forever. An obscure one, but
no. Would you do that?
I would not do that. But don't pretend like we haven't seen that before. What do you think? Do you think Brett Favre was not taking a dive for Michael Strahan when he was
totally,
breaking the sacks record?
Total baseball, I think, is different. You do not want to be the guy who gave up the home run. You'll be in the highlight as giving up a 500-foot home run to Aaron Judge.
But if you're a nobody, maybe a nobody. If you're a less famous baseball player, you might like the fact that you're in a highlight
from now
to the end of time.
That'll be all that's on your resume is you gave up the 60-second home run to Aaron Judge. That is not something you want. It's a pure negative. And also, Aaron Judge embarrasses pitchers with that long stroke.
No, that's a tough one.
I don't think any pitcher would want that. I would avoid him like the plague. And the other thing, too, I bet you the Red Sox are saying, you know what? We really do not want him to do this against us. Can you guys just walk him five times a game?
You know, it would actually, it would probably ratchet up the rivalry, which has been a little bit dormant, tiny bit. Would they...
Would you avoid? I can't believe you would even think twice. I would avoid it.
I'd probably walk him. I don't want to be part of the infamy. I don't, that's not important enough to me. I would think, like, I made it to the major leagues. This is good enough. I don't need to be the person who served up Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I think it's different to serve up a home run and to be Brett Favre, who just takes a knee when the pass rush is 5 feet away. That wasn't embarrassing
at
all.
You're helping somebody achieve a career milestone who's on the other team.
Yeah, but a pitcher giving up a home run is the worst thing a pitcher can do. Getting sacked is not that bad.
I know, but we've seen guys who have thrown meatballs before. Usually it's not for somebody to break a record, I don't think. But there's been other times when this has happened.
Yeah.
It's usually for sentimental reasons. Like the one that comes to mind, obviously this is sad, is after Jose Fernandez tragically passed away. And the pitcher definitely, like, you know, floated one to D. Gordon. He hit a home run. It created a moment. And it was a touching moment.
Yeah, but this is so different.
No,
because
I know.
This is the, you see pitchers get, look at the pitchers, look at their eyes when they're facing Judge. They're going to be so nervous. Don't let it be me. Don't let it be me.
Well, why do you think Bonds kept getting walked all that time? Yeah. Nobody wanted to serve up Bonds all those
yeah,
homers either.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a different story. Let's not compare Aaron Judge.
No, I mean, there's no whispers around Aaron Judge. Got to be fair to him. But again, yeah. Bonds was getting walked all the time. Remember, who was it who walked a run in with Bonds? Was it like Mike Socha or something? Now I'm not going to remember who it was, but was it Joe Maddon who intentionally walked Bonds even though the bases were loaded? To be honest, smart move. Heads up play there by Joe Maddon. Okay, Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM Channel 158, the free Odyssey app. Coming up next, we're going to get inside the mind of Tom Brady. Seth Wickersham wrote the definitive book on the Patriots dynasty. It's called It's Better to Be Feared. Seth is going to join us next. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff straight ahead.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Perloff, one of my absolute favorite sports books as of late has been by our next guest, and he's the author of It's Better to Be Feared. It is the definitive look at the Patriots dynasty, how it was built, and ultimately why it fractured and why Tom Brady is no longer with the New England Patriots. Seth Wickersham wrote the book. It's now being released in paperback, and it's got new chapters, a new epilogue, and some insider info on Brady's month-long retirement before the season. Seth, thanks so much for the time today. Congrats on the paperback. So what happened during the retirement? Give us a little something.
Hey, Maggie, thank you. Man, that was such a nice intro. It can only kind of go down from here, right?
Not at all. Love the book. It was great. I couldn't put it down.
Well, you know, I think it's really interesting because this has been a very odd year, let's say, for Tom Brady, because someone who's been so consistently drama-free for most of his, you know, two-plus decades in the public spotlight, all of a sudden is at the center of a lot of drama, and it's still September. We still have a long way to go, and I think that when you look at what led him to walk away from the Bucs, when he retired, he said, you know, it's not all about me. Sometimes it's about what my family wants, not everything that I want. But I do think that while it's true that, look, anybody in their mid-40s with, you know, a wife and kids can attest that life can get busy and complicated at times, I think that the main reason why he walked away was because towards the end of the year, I think he was exhausted by a lot of the business interests that he had gotten himself into, and then the sinking knowledge that the Bucks under Bruce Arians just weren't buttoned up, weren't quite ready for the playoffs, and it just had to kill him the way that they lost that game against the Rams after they came back. But, I mean, a week after he retired, he's talking about coming back, and I think that this is something that I wrote about, especially in the last third of the book, is you know, Belichick and Brady are two very different people, two very different personalities, but they share this arguably spectacularly unhealthy drive and need and share that they feel most alive really in life on Sundays at game time. And I think that that's what drove him back. It doesn't mean that by doing that decision, it simplified the other areas of his life, as we've seen with a lot of the reporting that's come out the last, you know, month or so.
Yeah, so wait, Seth, you think, because like this has been one of those things that's been rumored, but it was never like officially nailed down. Do you think that a contingency on Brady coming back was having Arians be off the sidelines?
I don't know. I think the coincidence is just so weird. And yeah, clearly there's a lot of people in the NFL who think that it wasn't a coincidence at all. Like, I don't think that Tom Brady needs to, you know, make a stand to let people know that while he liked Bruce Arians and likes him very much personally, felt that, again, the Bucs just weren't quite as buttoned up. I mean, remember, he's coming from the New England Patriots system, which, say what you want about it, sometimes it's not the most fun system ever, but they were buttoned up to the nth degree. And when he goes to Tampa Bay, it's almost like going from, like, Harvard to Florida State, right? He wanted something different, even more than winning. He just wanted, like, a different vibe around football for his final few years. He got that, but still, he knows the right way to approach the game. And he knows that his last year, as last year was coming to a close, the Bucs were just not ready. And, you know, this idea that he unretires and then momentarily after that, Bruce Arians goes up to the executive suite and then he goes back down to the sideline like we saw last week. That was very odd.
Yep.
And he wasn't exactly like a calm presence on the sideline. He was chirping at the refs. I don't think that that's a coincidence, but in the same sense, I don't think it's something that he mandated or made a contingency of him returning. I think the Bucs kind of knew that he wanted to keep playing and that maybe he just needed a break and a reset, and they held their fire. I mean, like, if other teams were interested, maybe Miami, San Francisco, these other places that were kind of wondering, maybe Tom doesn't want to be – wants to keep playing but doesn't want to play for the Bucs. The Bucs held tight, and sure enough, a month later, he was back.
You know, Seth, watching the first 2 weeks, though, nothing seems buttoned up about the Todd Bowles Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In fact, quite the opposite. Sunday was one of the ugliest 3 hours of football, and everything was going wrong. Like, do you think there's any buyer's remorse of Brady coming back?
I don't know, Andrew, but I do think that, like, yeah, it's not just that they don't look together on the field. And look, that happens. As we know, you know, September is – everyone's still kind of like getting to know each other and things take a little while, unless of course you're the Buffalo Bills. But I mean, look at what's going on right now. He doesn't look happy. He doesn't look like the fire is there. Even though he's ready to go on game day, he just doesn't look like the same old guy. And maybe some of that's on-field product. Maybe some of that's by virtue of the fact that People Magazine and CNN and the New York Post are essentially reporting on the state of his marriage almost on a daily basis. I mean, this just, all of the things going on right now cannot be very fun for him. And you know, to his credit, he doesn't complain necessarily about it. I mean, I think he knows that they've lived a lot in the public eye, and I think he knows that, you know, there's good things with that and there's bad things with that, and it can be complicated at times and fun at times. But right now, it just looks like he's carrying around a lot of pressure that maybe he wasn't quite thinking that this is how it was going to be when he came back.
Seth Wickersham is our guest. He is the author of It's Better to Be Feared. It's the definitive look at the Patriots dynasty. It's out in paperback right now with some new cool features to it and some new reporting. And so, Seth, we always like praise athletes and especially Brady for compartmentalizing, you know, and being able to block out things that could be going on in your personal life and being able to perform on the field. Do you think this time, though, it's kind of getting to him? Like, it's cracking him a little bit? Remember just a week ago, he was going to take Wednesdays off, then he was at Wednesday practice. Like, is it finally to the point where he can't block it out?
I don't think so, but I think it's getting harder. Like, I don't think that he's, you know, he's been good at faking it throughout his career. But there have been moments where the combination of football intensity and personal life intensity have really come heavy on him. And, you know, his tendency is to kind of put up walls and try to do his best to not add fuel to the fire. I mean, something that comes to mind is like the 2007 season. I mean, remember, he breaks up with Bridget Moynihan. She ends up giving birth to his son, Jack. He starts dating Gisele Bündchen. They get busted for Spygate first week of the season. Then they go on a football tear, but everyone's calling them cheaters the entire time. And, you know, he put up some walls during that time. I remember there's a great writer for Esquire who wanted to write about Brady after that 2007 season ended. And Brady was out in L.A. at the time because he was spending a lot of off seasons in L.A. And the writer was told by Brady's agent, do not ask about the wife, the ex-girlfriend, or the kid. And if you do, the interview was supposed to take place in a limo on the way to a golf course. On the 405, and he goes, if you ask about those things, they will drop you off on the 405. They do not care.
Wow. It's a risk you got to take.
Yeah, that's not, I know, right? It's like the first question you might have asked, like, let's see if he'll actually do it.
Yeah, right. But, call his bluff.
But, you know, it's like that's not indicative of the Tom Brady that a lot of us knew or thought we knew, but it's indicative of someone who is trying to get through life as best he can and needs to put up those walls. And it wouldn't surprise me if right now he's in a similar kind of bunker. I mean, like, there's a lot going on football-wise. Like I said, I mean, it has to be stressful having your marriage being almost a daily topic by all these different news outlets. It just cannot be very much fun right now. But that said, I don't think it's the reason why he throws tablets or whatever. I mean, he's had that rage in him since he was a little kid.
We're talking to Seth Wickersham, ESPN senior writer, author of It's Better to Be Feared. Seth, you wrote this great feature on Sean McVay over the summer.
Thank you.
And it's interesting to me, he talked about retirement, and yeah. Brady's talking about retirement, and Rodgers talks about retirement. You know these personalities. Are they really able to walk away?
Well, yeah. I mean, football became something physically that we wondered if humans could continue playing, right? Because it was just becoming, these guys were becoming so fast and so powerful, and some of these injuries were becoming so severe that we were wondering, like, is football almost like become so fast that humans can't play it anymore. Now you look at it and you say, is football so stressful that it's the type of thing that you know, it's spectacularly unhealthy, and is being in football long-term unsustainable? I know that there's executives around the NFL who think that the trend towards hiring younger coaches is directly related to, like, the burnout rate. And here you have Sean McVay. What made him so interesting to me was that at 35, 36 years old, he had been a head coach. Never until the first week of this season had he had a week under 500 as a head coach. That's unbelievable. It's unprecedented almost. And yet, after the Super Bowl, he's talking about walking away. And I don't think he was ever going to walk away. But what I wanted to talk to him about and give readers a real glimpse of is, like, the cost of what it takes to do what he does, and whether that's sustainable or not. And I think that for him, it feels sustainable sometimes, and then it feels unsustainable at other times. And I think that he truly doesn't know. Like, there's times where he's like, look, you know, maybe I'll keep coaching a couple of years, and I'll go to TV, take a break, whatever. And then there's other times where she's like, I can't believe it. I mean, I'm going to be 60 years old, and you and me are going to be sitting here, and you're going to be saying, how in the world are you still coaching?
Seth Wickersham.
I do think that, like, people like Sean McVay, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, you know, especially Bill and Tom, though, I mean, they blow past every offering, right? I mean, there's so many times that they could have gotten out of football with their legacy, their health, their wealth, everything intact, and yet they keep going because, again, it's something that tortures them and enriches their lives, and that people who are only people who are, like, supremely driven to the point where it's unhealthy can really understand. And even Sean McVay, as successful as he is in awe of what Bill Belichick does at age 70. I mean, Bill Belichick had scouted 2,000 players from in the college ranks who were playing this fall. He had scouted them personally before he left for summer vacation this year. Even Sean McVay and the hours that he keeps, he hadn't done that. And McVay calls it Belichick's competitive stamina. And he wonders whether, like, if Belichick's the standard, whether he can keep it up, knowing that Belichick's, what, almost twice as old as McVay is.
I know, but the irony of that is that some of these Belichick draft picks just have not been hitting lately, which is one of the reasons why they might not be a playoff team this year. Maybe they need to upgrade his dad's scouting composite thing that he created back in the day. Seth, last one from me, and because you have been around all these guys, you have a knowledge of sort of how they think, their way of thinking. The one question I think that's on everyone's mind that we have not been able to get an answer to: who is the mother bleeper? Who is the guy who Brady said on LeBron James's show, they're going to keep that mother bleeper over me? Now, this is going into the 2020 season, right? Right before he went to Tampa. Yeah. What's your best guess? What do you have?
I think it's Garoppolo. I don't know, but I think it's Garoppolo because, and I report on this extensively in my book, he wanted to be a 49er. Like, he was reaching out to the 49ers saying, just so you know, if you want me, I will not even go on a free agency tour, open and closed. I will be a 49er. And the 49ers had just come off that Super Bowl loss. They knew that Brady was better than Jimmy G, but they were worried about, you know, displacing a popular locker room leader. They worried about, you know, some of the film that Brady had. Kyle Shanahan had the entire offensive staff watch all of his snaps from 2019. At the end of the day, they decided to stay put. I mean, we know how that worked out for the 49ers, but I think it was Jimmy G because more than any other team, that's the team that he had his eyes on. I know that this that Dana White and Gronk talked about the Raiders and, you know, that they were supposedly looking for houses. I mean, look, maybe clearly there's some truth to that, but I think personally, if I had to bet money on it, I would bet that it was Jimmy G because of how badly Brady wanted to finish his career as a 49er, because he knew that he makes that throw at the end of the Super Bowl against the Chiefs that Jimmy G missed, and he knew that Kyle Shanahan knew that he would make that throw.
Okay, Seth, I'll let you administer the foolproof truth serum to either Bill Belichick or Tom Brady, and you can ask one question. Would you ask for definitive proof about Deflategate, maybe Spygate, Malcolm Butler not playing in the Super Bowl? What would be your one question for either Brady or Belichick that you could get totally confirmed for the rest of time?
Man.
Deflategate be good. You have to admit that.
You know, I think, but Deflategate's just kind of so silly. You know, it just, like, was the biggest debacle in, like, sports history in terms of how it was handled. It was kind of comical. I mean, I think I'd want to know what plays were impacted directly by Spygate and in what games. I think that's what I'd want to know.
Good one.
That's a good one.
That's a pretty good one.
Seth wrote the book called It's Better to Be Feared. It's out in paperback right now. There's new chapters, an epilogue, some insider info into Brady's month-long retirement prior to this season, updates on the Belichick-Brady relationship, all that really cool stuff. Seth, can't tell you how much we appreciate it. Congrats again, and we'll catch up with you soon.
It's so great to talk to you guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you.
I'm Deflategate, by the way, for sure. Just to get, why was he called the deflator? I need to know.
But that's not true serum to those guys. That's true serum to the, you know, jabroni who was, you know, texting the other jabroni.
Wait, you don't think Tom Brady knows why the guy was called the deflator?
I don't know. That one, I think he could escape somehow.
But I would like to know, finally, for sure, Dustin, because even if you don't think he deflated, either way, whatever you think, would you like to know for sure and just because I think a lot of people still think he probably deflated footballs. Because yeah. Why not? Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of over that one. I think the Rams Super Bowl maybe about the walkthrough and stuff like that.
Oh, you know, just from 2002?
I mean, we're bringing up old stuff, but yeah.
Oh, come on. We should put that on a poll.
If you could ask Brady and Belichick anything, what would it be?
One question.
I'd want to know this. You know, Peyton Manning always says this is like a half joke, that he always thought that he was getting bugged in the Patriots locker room. I'd want Belichick to answer that question truthfully. Are you bugging the opponent's locker room?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Would be nice to finally get a Malcolm Butler Super Bowl explanation of some sort.
All right. 855.
Do you know the answer?
No. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. We got picks for tonight's game. Plus, our Cowboys quickie comes your way in just a moment. Time for a sports update, a CBS sports update. Here's Rich Ackerman.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Maggie and Perloff. Okay, let's get to it. Waste no time. It's your Cowboys quickie for today. Micah Parsons has a cold. That was your Cowboys quickie for today. There you go. Missed practice. He's got a cold. That's all I got.
That's it?
That's it.
Is he drinking chicken soup? Do we know any more details?
I do not have a detail on what kind of soup he might be drinking, but someone that could get him some chicken soup would probably be good. Anyway, big Monday night game against the Giants in New York.
You got nothing on Justin Herbert's ribs. You just got Micah Parsons has a cold.
Well, I mean, it's a Cowboys quickie. Oh, so okay. It's got to be about the Cowboys.
I know. I just need a little more. It's a violent sport. I would think there's an injury bigger than a cold.
I don't know. He's got a cold.
All right.
There you go. Sometimes the news is a little lighter than normal.
Yeah, I know. Normally the Cowboys give us so much stuff. That's the best they got.
You want a little more? I've got Jerry Jones sound for you.
I figured you're holding back the Jerry.
Well, if it's a day that ends in Y, then I've got Jerry Jones sound for you. This is Jerry Jones talking about would there be a possible quarterback controversy brewing if Cooper Rush continues to win games?
So you'd want that? You'd want that controversy?
Of course I would.
Okay.
Of course that means we'd won. If he comes in here and played as well as Prescott played, Rush played that well over these next games ahead, I'd walk New York to get that.
you think he can do that?
Well, I don't know that, but you can't find on record where I said I thought Dak Prescott could do it when he stepped in and had the chance to do that, but he did it.
I don't see this one happening. I don't see a quarterback controversy between Dak Prescott and Cooper Rush.
But then again, would you have ever seen in a million years a Dak Prescott Tony Romo controversy? Fourth round pick against a Pro Bowl.
No, but at least like Romo did have a bit of an injury history too, you know?
I hear it. But I told you this before. Any coach or owner or GM who gets a late round quarterback, they think they can do that all the time. So Jerry thinks he can find another Dak Prescott. The Seahawks are sure they're going to find another Russell Wilson. They're probably not going to.
Yeah, but meanwhile, the Patriots, though, they used a first round pick on Mac Jones, even though Brady was in the sixth round.
Yeah, but
sometimes you just got to admit it.
But they drafted like 600 quarterbacks between Jared Stidham, Ryan Mallett, Jimmy Garoppolo.
How funny. Jerry, I don't know how I didn't notice this before, but he always has like delivers the line and then hold for laughs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll walk to New York.
Yeah.
Hold for laughs. Okay, some more fun sound we got to get to. And this one comes to us from the Detroit Lions, who have been a little bit of a gift here this week. Oh, by the way, and I have an update on our Dan Campbell thing. But first, let's get to Amon-Ra St. Brown. So you remember this was a moment in Hard Knocks when the wide receiver for the Detroit Lions names every wide receiver that was taken before him in the draft like this is some like samurai movie and he's like keeping a list.
I can tell you all 16 receivers and where they went to college. Jamar Chase, LSU, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith,
wide receiver,
Alabama, Kadarius Toney, Florida, Rashad Bateman, Minnesota, Elijah Moore, Rondell Moore, Dwayne Eskridge, Tutu Atwell, Louisville, Terrace Marshall, LSU.
Wide receiver, LSU. With the 77th pick,
Josh Palmer, Tennessee. Deami Brown, UNC, Amari Rogers, Clemson, Nico Collins, Michigan, Anthony Schwartz, Auburn.
With the 109th pick,
Des Fitzpatrick, Louisville.
Wow. I mean, Robert Saleh thinks he's keeping receipts. This guy's keeping receipts that he can name all those wide receivers that were taken before him. And so the Lions were playing Washington this past weekend, and here's what Amon-Ra St. Brown had to say about who he was looking at on the other sideline.
Even the Commanders, they got a guy before me over there. I believe his name is Deami Brown. I don't know how many catches he had. You guys can probably tell me that or how many yards he had, but I don't forget things like that. You know, I see him across the sideline from where I'm standing during the game, and every team that – I'm going to give every team hell. I didn't see him in the game much.
Oh, man, this guy is cold-blooded.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, is that necessary? You're about to get 16 touchdowns. Like, dude, just play it. Why are you calling out poor Deami Brown? What'd that do to you?
Oh, my God. I think people love when guys do this. Don't we love that Michael Jordan's still calling out the guy who made the junior varsity team over him years ago?
I can't stand. The Michael Jordan Hall of Fame speech was my least favorite speech ever.
But you love people. We were just saying Tom Brady didn't shake Ryan Fitzpatrick's hand. You're like, who cares? It doesn't matter. This is like along the same vein. It's like so competitive that they're taking names.
This is to me this is a flamboyant. You know, I'm a hand the ball to the official in the end zone guy. Did you know that about me? I love Barry Sanders.
That's funny because you did the gritty once on our set.
I was at Mike Gesicki. There was a guy the other day. Oh, I think it was Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb doesn't dance in the end zone. He just immediately finds the official and hands it to him. That is the coldest thing you can do in the end zone. This guy is going way out of his way to call out everybody. I don't know. Can't you let your play do the talk? He's having an amazing year. Why does he need to call out Deami Brown?
Because, like, that's where guys get their motivation. Like Michael Jordan, about the guy he called out in the Last Dance. I don't remember his name, who was playing for the Wizards or the Bullets or whatever at the time. And he's like, good game, Mike. And then like Jordan came and just torched him the next time. He's like keeping tabs on how wrong all the teams were to pass on him.
Right, but I think Michael tells that stuff later. I don't think he was in the press saying, you know, I'm going to call it. You know, we never knew that story about whoever it was until Last Dance. I don't know. It doesn't feel a little like, what if the team gets bad now and Amon-Ra St. Brown is talking all this trash and.
I like a little, you know what? I'm proving everybody wrong.
Prove everybody wrong. Why do you have to say you're proving?
He's had a couple of games. Now he's got to rub it in everybody's face.
You don't think people notice that Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's on my fantasy team, has had a couple of good games? Like, yeah, rub it everybody.
Who is it, Stu? LeBradford Smith.
Yeah, LeBradford Smith.
Right,
yeah.
That's who it was in The Last Dance. Thank you so much for finding that.
And The Last Dance was 10 episodes of pure pettiness. It was very Tom Petty. It was ridiculously petty. And this, to me, was super petty. You're this young, emerging superstar, and you're calling out a special teams player on the other side?
Yeah, who was drafted ahead of him.
What did that guy do? He had nothing to do with it.
I love it. I think it's great. You get your motivation. You're going to prove all these front offices and stuff and all these people wrong. It's great. We got to make some picks.
Yeah, the front offices, by the way, not Deami Brown.
Well, I mean, be better then. Okay, we got to pick the game tonight.
But wait till the Lions are 4-13. We'll see who's better.
Oh, and by the way, I have an update. So I did reach out to our friend Chris Burke, who covers the Lions. I said, when Dan Campbell said the other day that he got blackout drunk watching the Monday Night Football games, you and I weren't sure. Is Dan Campbell more of a bourbon scotch guy? Is he more of like a Bud Light, Coors Light kind of guy? I reached out to Chris. Chris thought that a light beer probably wouldn't be strong enough to make Dan Campbell blackout.
No.
So he thought it was probably a combination of the two, which I thought, it's a little risky sometimes mixing drinks like that. But if anyone can handle it, it's the Danimal, Dan Campbell.
I had this image of him on his easy chair. You can't really have whiskey and beer in chair and watch football.
I see him in an easy chair, too. I've had that same image.
I don't know. Like, yeah, maybe in a bar you could get a shot and a beer, but do you have beer and whiskey at the same easy chair?
No, but is there also, what's the adage? Liquor before beer, you're in the clear?
Yeah.
Beer before liquor makes you sicker?
Yeah, and I don't think that's watching TV drinking. That's like when you're out at a frat party.
Yes, I think I did actually hear that at a frat. I think I learned that at a frat. Quickly, tonight, you have Steelers, Browns. Browns are a four-point favorite. What do you got?
I got Cleveland because they can't be worse than last week.
Yeah, and the Steelers burned me last week, so I'm still upset about it. Browns minus the four. All right, that does it for us. Thank you so much, Stu Kovacs. Thank you, Connor Green. Thank you, Marlo Donahue. Everyone on the radio and TV side, we will see you tomorrow. We out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.